If you lived during the late 1800s, there were a lot more things that you would die from. Bacteria was a real issue, wasn't it? If you were infected by bacteria during childbirth, you had a 50-50 chance of survival. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? If you got a splinter from cutting wood, and if it got infected, well, there's a good chance that you would lose an arm or a hand. As a printer, it struck me that actually a paper cut could kill you. There was no way to kill bacteria, and it was a mystery. It's the reason why during World War II so many people had limbs cut off. They had to make sure the bacteria wouldn't travel through their body, so they just cut limbs off. But the 26th of May 1940 was a day that four mice changed the course of history. It was four mice who survived a lethal dose of bacteria that changed the world. These four mice were injected with bacteria, and then they were given penicillin, and the mystery of how to combat bacteria was revealed. They understood what to do, how to combat the bacteria, and things haven't been the same since. Howard Florey, I think the guy's name is, was an Australian scientist who discovered this. And in 1943, he flew to Africa to test penicillin on wounded troops. They realised that they could actually clean the wound, sew it up, give him some penicillin, and they would be okay. They wouldn't have to take off the leg, an arm, or whatever it was. The mystery of bacteria was revealed. And Paul wrote to those in Colossae, and he reveals to them who Christ is. Now, there are a few mysteries in this passage, and Paul says they have been disclosed. We saw last week this grand picture of who Jesus is. And today we're going to get into some detail of what it's like to be in Christ. And now we have on the sign out the front, followers of Jesus. We sometimes use the word Christian. And what we mean is someone who is in Christ. And being in Christ is a mystery. And this is our first point. We see from what Paul says that he fills up what is still lacking from Christ's afflictions. Now, if you ask me, this is a tricky verse because, but I think what it says is not unique. Other passages in the Bible say something similar. That the work we do on earth somehow fills up in Christ what is still needing to be done. Let's read verse 24 so it's clear what we're looking at. Verse 24 says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church." Now, if you look at this verse, it sounds like something is missing with regard to the work of Christ. Especially when you read that second part, what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. But we need to look at the detail of the verse. See, Paul starts off by saying that he rejoices in what was suffered for you. Now, at this first point, he's talking about the cross of Christ. Jesus suffered for them. They've put their trust in Jesus. And Paul says he rejoices that they are recipients of the grace of the Lord Jesus. They are in Christ. And this brings joy to Paul. And then Paul says, "And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions." Now we know that the sufferings of Christ have brought those in Colossae into the family of Jesus. The sufferings of Christ are his finished work on the cross. But these afflictions, you see there's a change of word there, these afflictions of Christ are something different. And Paul says that he's filling up in his flesh what is still lacking in regard to these afflictions of Christ. And these afflictions that Paul is filling up in his flesh are the works that he does for the church. At the end of the verse it says that these afflictions are for the sake of his body, Jesus' body, which is the church. So there's still work to be done for Christ in regard to his church. There are still afflictions that Paul is filling up in his flesh for the sake of the church. because the church is the body of Christ. Now imagine this with me for a moment. Imagine if someone handed me a bag of material and a sewing machine. Does that make me a seamstress? Matt? It was a trick question. Sorry, Matt. If I was given a car and a helmet, does that make me a racing car driver? If I got some Lycra shorts and a road bike, heaven forbid, does that make me a cyclist? No. In each of these examples, you could say, well, you look the part, you look like a mammal, a middle-aged man in Lycra, but there's still something missing, isn't there? I need to get on the bike and I need to show you that I can ride and I need to get into a race. And Paul is saying something similar here. Christ has done all that's necessary for us to be in Christ, his sufferings. His work on the cross is sufficient. But Paul also realizes that there's still work to be done for the church. His afflictions and the work to be done can often result in persecutions and sufferings. The church, which is the people we see before us each week, those of us who trust in the Lord Jesus, you are the church. You are in Christ and as part of the church, and you are part of the church. And Paul's example here as a servant or minister of God's word is that he is working hard to make sure that the church, the body of Jesus, that this church continues to grow. In verse 25, he says that his role is to present the word of God to the church. That's why Paul labours for the church. That's how he fills up what is lacking in his flesh. That's how he fills up in his flesh what is still lacking with regard to Christ's afflictions. Paul is working hard to help mature the church. And as we look at the New Testament, especially the book of Acts, we see that Paul's work will bring him pain and suffering. Now, Christ has ascended and he has left others to continue working in his church. Now, for us as a church, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that you've called me to fill up what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, to work hard at bringing the word of God to you, to challenge you, to mature you, to build you up so that you will mature in Christ. And what it all points to is the church of Jesus Christ is a church that needs input. It needs people working hard so that we present each other mature in Christ. All of us have some area that we can grow in with regard to being part of the church. So no one is perfect, are they? No one is perfect. And so we need to learn how to serve one another, learn how to be generous, we need to learn how to love one another. We need to learn how to show grace. But there's lots of things that we need to learn. And as the word of God is brought to us, we're reminded, well, how we can mature. Now, I would go so far as to say that all of us who are followers of Jesus have this responsibility. We are all ministers of God's word. We help those around us mature in Christ. And so the question is, well, are you ready to mature? It's good to come to church. It's great that we can come even midweek together at a Bible study to study in more detail. I mean, that's why we have them. Are you reading your Bible regularly? So they're all ways that we can grow into maturity. That's our first point. Growing into maturity. Now, the second point we see here is Christ disclosed. Now, we've already touched on Paul as a minister of God's word in verse 25. He was commissioned to present the word of God to them in all its fullness. And verse 26 says that this was a mystery that has been disclosed. And you can see that in verse 26. And the mystery that was hidden has now been disclosed to the saints. So those who are in Christ, followers of Jesus, have had Jesus revealed to them. And this is made clearer in verse 27. Because those who receive this message, because those who receive the message is bigger than people thought. See, look at verse 27. It says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The message is not only for those who are Jews, but also those who are Gentiles. Now, this is a radical change, a change perhaps to the Jewish mindset more than to God, because God's always been interested in those outside. The Jews thought they were the only ones to be recipients of God's mercy, but now the Gentiles here are included. The mystery goes beyond the expected. It's now the mystery is open to everyone. Now, there seems to be a few mysteries here. The mystery of Christ being revealed, the mystery of Christ being received by Gentiles. And as I say, God has always been welcoming in of the foreigner. We see it throughout the Old Testament, and it's made explicit in the New Testament. The mystery of Christ, his life, death and resurrection was hidden. Now it's disclosed. It speaks about this mystery as Christ in you, and the mystery of Christ in you is now disclosed. And this was Paul's work for the church of Christ, to disclose or reveal this mystery. And what we're talking about here is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This happens when we're born again. When we've placed our trust in the Lord Jesus, we receive the Spirit and we are born again. As people who follow Jesus, we speak about this in a number of ways, don't we? We speak about it like it's a cleansing of our spirit, that we're given a new heart, each believer, a new creation, that we are regenerate. And we are born again because the Spirit has come to us by faith. As the Spirit decides and as the Spirit comes upon us, we are cleansed and purified from all our unrighteousness and we are made new. And that's the mystery of Christ in you. And this is the mystery that's been disclosed. Disclosed to the saints. Disclosed to you who follow Jesus. To me, it's a bit like that. A maths equation. An equation that you finally understand. That's what I think this is like. You work hard to try and understand a maths equation. And when you understand it, somehow it becomes so clear that you think, well, how did I not understand this before? And for those who are in Christ, the mystery of Christ in you makes sense. You know it's true. What was hidden is now revealed. You're a new creation, born again of the Spirit. You are in Christ. And this pushes us into our third point, because as people who are filled with the Spirit, there's a natural outworking of the Spirit in you. And that's why I've called this point Christ lived out. Christ lived out in you. Now, Paul in this section says that he proclaims Christ. He does this by admonishing and teaching with the goal of presenting everyone perfect in Christ. That's what we see in verse 28. Paul's goal is to teach and admonish so that people are presented perfect in Christ. In other words, this is all about bringing the good news of Jesus to all people in the world. To be presented as perfect in Christ means that you are trusting that the Lord Jesus has covered over all your sins with his precious blood. It's the work of evangelism, isn't it? Just last week we had a meeting to talk about this very thing, to talk about how we as a church can be people who proclaim the love of Jesus to those who don't yet know Jesus. We talked about what we could do in order to bring the good news of Jesus to our neighbours, to our friends and family, those who don't yet know Jesus. Now, Paul uses some strong language to push his point here. He says in verse 29 that this is the end to which he labours. The word for struggling or striving that you see in your Bibles is a word that sounds like agony, agonizomai. He agonizes to bring the mystery of Jesus to those who don't yet know Jesus. It's a painful process, a hard work. And this is the goal of our church too. Look at, Matt pointed out already on the front of your bulletins. Look at that. I'm going to read it for you. Not the welcome, but as disciples of Jesus, we desire to grow in our love for the world. This means we will speak to people who don't yet know Jesus. We pray for them and ask God to change their hearts. And we do this because we love them dearly and want them to know Jesus. May God give you opportunities this week to speak about him. Paul says it slightly differently in verse 29. To this end I labour, struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works in me. It's the work of Christ in Paul that helps him as he speaks to those around him. We're not in this business alone. Paul struggled and used the strength of Christ to speak. And that strength of Christ powerfully works in Paul as he proclaimed this mystery. This is what we do with the mystery, don't we? We don't keep it a mystery. We don't hide it. We don't wait for someone else to speak. We don't sit idly by, but we participate in the work of proclaiming Christ to those who are not yet in Christ. Colossians is a book about Jesus. It's a book that encourages us to see that Jesus is at work and that Christ is at work in each one of us. And I think there's a few things that can help us as we think about Christ in us. And the first and most obvious question to ask yourself is Christ in you? Is Christ in you? Have you heard the good news that Jesus covers over all your sin and that you can be a new creation by trusting in his work for you? Are you in Christ? I think it's the most important question that any one of us will ever answer. A positive response to that question means we are safe for an eternity with Jesus. Are you in Christ? Are you followers of Jesus? Are you trusting Christ? If you are trusting Christ, then I have some other questions for you. Are you filling up what is lacking with regard to Christ's afflictions? In other words, are you working hard to proclaim the message of Christ? Are you sharing and proclaiming the kingdom? When you do this, often we suffer and we'll be persecuted for our faith. But I think that Paul is telling us this because it's happening to him. We suffer as we pray. We don't get the answers we want. But we need to push ourselves to pray. That maybe you need to be reminded to pray for your oikos, those 10 people that are on your list, 10 to 15 people that are on your list. Are you praying for them? We pray for those who aren't yet following Jesus because we know that it is Christ who will answer those prayers. But it's painful to wait. So I encourage you not to give up. Keep praying. Keep trusting Christ. Now, the next question I could ask is if the mystery of Christ is clear to you. See, the mystery is Christ in you, and the mystery has been revealed. So are you clear on what this mystery is? If we are to be people who share about the mystery of Christ in you, then surely we need to be clear on what it is. As I was preparing for this, I was reminded through this passage of the book by John Piper called Finally Alive. I really like that book. It has some great ways to think about what it means to have the Spirit in you, what it means to be born again. Maybe you want to read that book. Is the mystery of Christ in you clear? And the last question I have for you is this. Are you ready to work hard for Jesus? Paul said that he agonized for his church. He worked hard to bring the mystery to the nations. So are you ready to work hard? If you're asked to serve at church, then perhaps the right answer is yes. Yes, because God will provide the energy for me. As a church, we want to have a few events in term 3 and 4, and we are going to ask for help. We can't do it on our own. But what are you going to say? Are you going to use Paul's words here and say, yes, I labour struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me? Are you trusting Christ to be the one who works powerfully in you? Are you asking him to give you the energy you need to work for him? I'm going to go there again. I think working hard for Jesus is like a printing press. But maybe you haven't seen a printing press, and I don't think it matters. But what you need to know about a printing press is that the only way that oil gets on the gears is while it's moving. It doesn't pump oil around the machine, but it picks up oil from the bottom and takes it to the top. So the only way to have a well-oiled machine is for you to turn it on and use it. And I'm sure you understand where I'm going. For us to be a well-oiled machine for Christ, we need to be used. We need to work hard, agonizing work in prayer and speaking and preparing and many other things so that Christ can work through us. We believe that it's Christ who works in us, but it's Christ who works in us to bring about the kingdom. So are you ready to work? Are you ready to let Christ work through you? The mystery has been revealed and there's plenty to do. Are you ready? Well, let's pray. Now, Father God, we ask that you help us to understand the mystery of Christ in you. We pray that those who may not be in Christ may have their hearts changed and want to follow you. Lord, you know the friends that we have who are not following you. And we pray for them now. For friends, for family, for neighbours. We pray that you work in us to bring the good news of your Son Jesus to those people we know. Give us the energy we need to work hard for your kingdom. Give us your energy, Lord, and work through us. And we pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.